All right, hang on to your hats and buckle up because this one's gonna get weird. Welcome back to Bigger Than Me. I am your host, Allie Hare. First of all, apologies for not having a podcast episode out last week. Well, not apologies, but I'll explain why. But it was Halloween, so I hope you all had a very, good Halloween, spooky weekend and all that jazz. Get it together. My dad died. Yeah, and let me tell you what's happening in my brain right now as I'm recording this. Right now in my brain, all of you that are going to be listening to this are going, so what? You hate him, right? All you do is talk about, you know, how horrible your dad was and how abusive he was and all that jazz. Yeah, yeah. But he was my dad. And turns out when you lose the option, to decide if you want someone in your life or not, it's suddenly a much different feeling. It is suddenly a much different feeling. Now, I'm not here to tell anybody, like, you know, you're going to regret it, you know, if you don't say what you need to say now. No, I mean, everybody's trauma is different. Everybody's story is different. You don't need to do shit that I do. I am heartbroken, you guys. Yeah. Fuck. Whew. I told myself I was going to do this. So I'm doing this. I am. Because I think in the back of my head, I didn't leave his door open. I didn't leave his door completely open, but I left it cracked. And what I mean by that is I feel like I told my mom so many times, like, you know, I had him blocked. Like, I had him blocked on my phone. I had him blocked on social media, but my, you know, he had my email address. You know, I have a podcast. Like, if you want to find me, it's up. I probably shouldn't say that. You know, I don't know. I feel like these days, like, if you want to find people, it's really not that fucking hard to find people, okay? Like, anyway, maybe I'm just a really good stalker. That's the realtor in me. We're all very good stalkers, if you didn't know that. Yeah. So outside of some voicemails, which if you guys don't know this, if someone ever blocks you, like, from calling them, this is just from my personal experience of having blocked someone, they can still leave you voicemails. It just goes to a little blocked folder. Fun fact, if you're crazy, I don't know. But I'm rambling. This is hard. But again, I told myself I would do this. So apart from three blocked voicemails, there weren't any other attempts on his end. And I don't know why I'm going over that right now. I'm not disparaging him right now. There will be plenty of time for that. I have not forgotten all the bad shit right now. One of the things that I have become painfully aware of through learning about borderline personality disorder is the black and white thinking of just literally, like, I love you or I hate you. It's good or it's bad. It was great or it was terrible. You're either with me or you're against me. There's no gray area as far as my brain works. So I have to dig really, 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 really deep to find the gray area. And so I'm actively doing that right now. I am actively working on holding space for two truths, which are, yes, he was mentally abusive, verbally abusive. There were maybe two or three times that he was physically abusive, but that can be a truth, but it can also be true that he was funny and he was smart. He was funny. He was smart. He He loved sports. He loved, I thought he loved football the most, honestly. I'll be 100% honest with you guys. I thought he loved football the most just because we talked about football the most, because I'm a football girl, I guess. But that's what my friend told me. But as we've been kind of looking through pictures this week, it's funny, like, I'm like, oh my God, my dad is like the biggest Panthers fan in the world. Every picture I found of him so far, he's in Phillies attire. So, which it sucks that the Phillies just lost the World Series. But anyway, so my dad loves sports. My dad loved the Phillies. My dad loved the Panthers. My dad also loved the Eagles. He is from South Jersey. My dad loved all things UVA. So my dad also hated all things UNC. Yeah. Yeah. He was a person outside of the monster, right? And I have to hang on to that right now because both things can be true. Because both things can be true. And I have to, that is something that I literally have to work on like every day. It's exhausting, not just about my dad, but just in general, working with, or, you know, and learning more about how to deal with BPD and how it affects my brain or how my brain works or whatever. Just understanding that more than one thing can be true at a time. So yeah, everything you've heard about my dad leading up to this episode is that he was the monster in my closet, you know, the boogeyman of my childhood. And he was, and that's true. And that's true. And honestly, I mean, my childhood, my teenage years, I see the older I got, the worse it got. But I also was the closest with him. I don't know, saying that for any reason other than I was the closest with him. So I hung around the longest. So I got the worst of him and the best of him for the longest period of time, excuse me. And yeah, I am living in the gray area right now. I am fighting for the gray area right now of, at the end of the day, he was my dad. And so, yeah, I have learned some cool things about my dad this week. Again, this is not an episode about, you know, you should go call your abusers right now and, you know, or your manipulators or whatever. Like, no, everybody's, you do your own shit, you know, but I'm just, again, my podcast. So this is just from my perspective. I'll be totally transparent with you guys. I found out on Wednesday he died on Sunday the 30th. I'm literally gonna have to like back this up in my mind, you guys. 30th, 29th, 28th. 26. I could also look at the calendar because that still doesn't seem right. Was it the 25th? Yeah, okay. I found out on very early in the morning, October 26th, that he had been admitted to the hospital the night before. Again, if you are, you know, a longtime listener of the podcast. I've not been in contact with my dad, haven't really had a conversation with my dad since like 2019 or late 2018. So I guess he was admitted late Tuesday night, the 25th. And this was not the first time that my, God, I don't want to drag this out. This was not the first time that my dad had been admitted to the hospital and admitted to ICU. There had been a few instances, and every goddamn time he pulled a rabbit out of his hat. My dad's been sick for a long time, and he's been fighting for a long time. And every time I have wrestled with, you know, should I reach out? Should I reach out? Should I reach out? Should I go see him? And this time they said, you know, this is the time. So if you're going to go see him, if you're going to go talk to him, this is the time. So on Wednesday the 26th, I called my therapist and I was like, hey, should I or shouldn't I? And my therapist was like, I'm not going to make that decision for you. And I was like, that's not why I called you. So anyway, so I did wind up going. And unfortunately, this is not the feel-good story you came for. He was non-responsive when I got there. So I did not get to talk to him. I talked to him. I just did not get to. Anyway, so me, my mom, and Daryl were there. And shortly after we got there, they started hospice care, which is basically like they stop like medical care and it's basically just like comfort care. So, I mean, from Wednesday to Sunday, my man was feeling good. I mean, gotta say that. On lots of morphine. God, this is weird. This is weird. I'm gonna put it out anyway because, you know, I don't know. I'm gonna do it anyway because I told myself I would. So anyway, so then he was gone on Sunday. And my mom sat with him until Sunday. And I'm really proud of her for that because she also has not spoken to him really since like the same time as me. So anyway. So yeah, I said goodbye to him in the ICU. And then, yeah, my mom stayed with him until he was gone. So through all this, like I said, we've been, you know, sorting through some pictures. My mom and my aunts and I have been sorting through some stuff. And that's not, I do want to also say that, like, if you like know of anyone, if you or you know of anyone who loses a parent or loses someone very close to them and it's a very like a strange relationship, like don't pass judgment on anybody in their circle for like nothing. Like people are processing how they need to process. It's weird, right? So like I'm fortunate because, well, I was fortunate. I don't know. Excuse me. I'm sure you'll all forgive me for being all over the goddamn place right now. But like I was fortunate that I was born when all four of my grandparents were still alive. So I did get to have a relationship with all four of them before they passed. And so like when my grandparents passed, you know, it was the whole family gets together, you know, and everyone mourns together, you know, which I did find out. Actually, I've been reading a lot about grief. I'm one of those people that like, when I can't, I have to think about my feelings a lot. And I don't always allow myself to feel them. I just have to think about them. Because if I feel them, they hurt too much. So I just think about them a lot and I research them, which sounds crazy, I know, but just go with me here. So apparently mourning is like the outward expression of like feeling loss, and grieving is the inward expression of feeling loss. So anyway, in losing my grandparents, you know, the whole family comes together and like they're, you know, it seems like everybody's kind of like one cohesive unit and everybody's mourning together, everybody's grieving together and everything, right? But when it's like in a strange, like there was a reason, you know, again, if you've listened to my podcast before, you know, there was a reason he was alone. There is a reason he was alone, and I hate to say that, but again, there can be more than one truth. He can be who he was, and he can be the reason that he was alone, and he can also be my dad. So anyway, it is weird because it seems like a smaller circle of people are mourning, are grieving. But again, it's people are processing in their own way. They're mourning in their own way. They're grieving in their own way because it's unfortunately that's part of the legacy that he left. And I'll fully admit I feel anger towards him. I feel anger towards him because I don't necessarily get to mourn out loud with those I want to mourn with, or it's a tough situation, and he put us in it. So yeah, there's anger. There's a lot of anger. Yeah. But anyway, God, I'm taking you down so many fucking rabbit holes. The pictures. We've been going through the pictures. Me, my mom, my aunts, I've been going through pictures. I was able to find my absolute favorite picture of me and my dad. It's from when I was a little girl. But when I was little, my dad was always a big dude. Like, my dad was, I think at his heaviest, he was around like 700 pounds. My dad was morbidly obese. And that did lead to a lot of his health complications. We'll talk about that in another episode. But anyway, I do want to say that I'm realizing now that, like, I did see my dad advocate for himself as a larger person living in a larger body. I did see my dad advocate for himself when I was younger. And I think he got tired at one point. I think he got tired of trying to fit into spaces, trying to fit in to a world that didn't want to accommodate him. But again, you know, can't be an asshole, right? That's the thing, you know? Like, you can't be an asshole. You can't be terrible to people. Anyway, God damn it. Okay, pictures. So anyway, my dad was a big dude. And when I was little, he literally would, like, sometimes it was when I was in trouble, and sometimes he was just, like, talking to me or, like, telling me a story or something. But, like, he would pick me up and sit me, like, on his stomach. But I would like sit on my knees. I'd be like sitting on my little legs, like sitting on my knees or like sitting on my legs, right? And like facing him, just like sitting on his stomach. And he'd be like talking to me. And that's my favorite picture I have of the two of us. And I found it. I'm really glad I found it. But also fucking weird. Well, not weird in like a surprise kind of way, the first part of it, but the second part of it is a total surprise. My dad had told me years and years and years ago that, and my dad is a massive music fan. He loved music. And when I was in the hospital, even though he was non-responsive, and we were in the ICU, I fucking didn't care. I played Bruce Springsteen for him, and I played U2 for him. But anyway, he had told me at one point that he was going to make a playlist for his funeral. And I was like, okay, Dad, yeah, I'll make sure we play it at your funeral. That son of a bitch did it. My aunt Trish found it on Spotify. Yeah, he made himself a playlist. He made two, actually. And I like the second one better. I don't know which one's the second one, but I'm calling it the second one because he ended it with Always Look on the Bright Side of Life from The Life of Brian by Monty Python, which is really just so fucking sick. But that's my dad's sixth sense of humor. Like, I can't. I absolutely can't. If you know that movie, like, you know that scene, it's so sick. But I mean, that's my dad. That was my dad. He got such a kick out of making people uncomfortable. But he also, like, he pushed people away with that. But he also stood for, in my opinion, and it's no secret. If you've been here for a while, everybody knows I swing pretty far to the left. And my dad did too. My dad was extremely vocal in his hatred towards 45s. But he believed in people with uteruses having the right to govern their own body. He believed in, people having the right to love and marry whoever the fuck they want to love and marry. He believed that Black Lives Matter. He believed that, children should feel safe to go to school and that, their lives are more important than, fuck you, don't take my guns. Yeah. His heart was in the right place for a lot of shit. But his head was so fucked up. So anyway, this son of a bitch made himself a funeral playlist, two funeral playlists. But then it turns out he also has 202 total playlists on Spotify. 202 playlists. And he made two for me. He did. Some of the songs on there, I'm like, okay, all right, were you mad at me? I don't know, probably, that's fine, you do you, you did you, I did me. But some of them are songs that we enjoy listening to together, so I know my dad loved me, and I know my dad broke me, and those two things can be true at the same time. So if you're not sensing a fucking pattern here, just reminding you, if your brain feels a little broken too, two things can be true at the same time. That I'm also not telling you that that means that somebody who's abusing you, oh no, they love you and you should stay. No, I literally put 4 years of distance four years plus eternity between me and my dad. And I had to do that for my mental health. And yeah, so moving on, my dad was very smart. Apparently, my dad was on the team that wrote the original code for the credit card processing system at Bank of America, which also means that is my dad like the godfather of consumerism? Maybe. But I still think that's pretty cool. So apparently, anytime you swipe your debit card, use an ATM or something, some of that original language is still in there that my dad wrote. Crazy. I had to count backwards Sunday to Wednesday on my hands and then look at it on my calendar. But my dad wrote the code for the credit card software processing system. So that apple fell very far from the tree. I used to be really smart, you guys. I used to be really fucking smart. I don't know what happened. I do know what happened. They invented smartphones and I got really stupid. Sometimes I feel very stupid. So yeah. So again, I don't know. I took you down so many rabbit holes here. I don't know what kind of message I'm trying to put out here other than, yeah. If you feel like you are getting close to being ready to reach out to someone in your life, like you want to reach out to someone, or the only reason you're not reaching out to someone is because they haven't reached out to you. I don't know. Maybe that would be an instance where I would say, you know what? Maybe I would. But again, this is not an advice column. I am not Dear Abby. I am barely hanging on, Allie. No, but I am not going to lie to you guys. I am devastated. I'm devastated I didn't make it there. From what I understand, he wasn't super responsive when he got there, but every scenario that I had come up with in my head over the years, over these last 4 years of some sort of reunion with my dad in the future, just was gone. Was gone. And I just, even if I didn't even get a word out of him, I just wanted him to know I was there. Because he was my dad. And here's the crazy thing, is that I literally, like, a week before this, like, a week before he went into the hospital, I literally was, like, sitting on my couch. I was talking to Daryl, and I was looking at those three voicemails, because I have those three voicemails. I'm debating actually adding one of them to the end of this episode, just to keep it somewhere safe. But also, maybe, I don't know, for me, I don't know. Again, I'm not encouraging anybody to make a human out of your monster. I'm coming to terms with my black and white brain of, I could only see him as a monster. And now that he's gone, now that he's gone, I can also see him as my dad. Anyway, those three voicemails are from 2019, 2020, and 2021 on my birthday. And my birthday is coming up very soon, on November 19th. So I had told Daryl literally a week before he went into the hospital that I had a plan to unblock him before the next voicemail. And I said to him, yeah, but what if something happens? Like, what if something happens before the next birthday? Or what if he doesn't call me on the next birthday? So, yeah. I will say, I did say this to my aunt. I think I said it to my aunt Trish. There was a small sense of relief. I'm not going to lie. There was a small sense of relief because as much as I wish, as much as I wish our story could have ended differently, it also feels like, I've been grieving his loss since 2018. And maybe now I can start to heal. So I'm going to leave you guys with that. And I think I will add that voicemail in here. So if you have a complicated relationship with your dad, maybe don't listen to this. And if you had a complicated relationship with my dad and you're listening to this, maybe don't listen to this next part. But I am going to add it in here because he was my monster. And he was my dad.
Hi, Allie. I just wanted to call to wish you a happy birthday. I love you very much. Bye.
Yeah. I'm not going to do the cute sign off this time, you guys. I'll talk to you next week.